This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And I am tired today. For whatever, the rain came back, and now all I want to do is like sort of cocoon and go take a nap.
Wait a minute. I know why you're tired, because yesterday you got up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, well, I did. Uh-huh. I did. I witnessed the blood moon. I did. Well, and I'm just, you know, I'm old now. It takes me a while to recover.
Well, and yeah, you get to a certain point in life where 3 a.m. means you are in a deep, deep sleep. And when you get woken up for any reason at that point, you never quite get back to that deep sleep again.
Remember back in the day when you could go out and kind of like you could party and then you'd like stay up all night and then you'd go to work in the same clothes with like your wristband from the bar still around your, you know, still a little, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. Now it's like I got up at 3 a.m. to look at a moon and I'm like wrecked for 2 days. moon in the sky, just to clarify.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to wake up to the other moon. I don't think that would be a fun way to open my eyes in the morning.
Back again when we were all much, much younger. Today, the weather has kind of taken a turn, which is kind of good, but it does kind of make me a little sleepy. But I could have a piece of pound cake because it is National Pound Cake Day, and I do love a good pound cake. But it's also World Obesity Day, and I think those two kind of go hand in hand.
I was going to say, you know, the irony of it being Pound Cake Day and Obesity Day at the same time, it's kind of like you can really only choose one. Did the Democrats come up with this stuff? You can only have one true love.
Well, it's also National Snack Day. Do you have like a favorite snack? I kind of do. Do you like salt or sweet or both? I like both together.
It kind of depends on the mood. I mean, sometimes I like, chips and a cheese spread or chips and salsa is one of my primary snacks. Other times it's kind of like, give me a nice sweet cookie. It's a mood thing.
Yeah. See, you can get the best of both worlds with a really good piece of salted caramel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but then I love popcorn, too. I am a popcorn fiend. Oh, yeah. I love popcorn.
Well, my family around my house, I air pop the popcorn I eat.
Oh.
And then I bag pop in the microwave the stuff I give to my children. So, you know, they never really like me
darlings,
on popcorn day.
Have the orange ookity chemical stuff. I'm going to have the good stuff over here.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Oh, that's funny. Well, a lot of stuff happened on this day in history. One thing that really stuck out to me, because one of my favorite actors and one of my all-time favorite movies is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It was on this day in 1994 that John Candy died. Uncle Buck is one of my all-time favorite movies, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He was hilarious, but he was also so sweet, so vulnerable, and I just adored him.
Yeah. Ironically, I think it wasn't too long before he passed away, or maybe even after he passed away. His final movie, I believe it was the Wagons East movie.
Yeah.
And my friend and I went and saw it in the theaters. And, you know, it wasn't quite that high quality that you would, the Uncle Bucks or the Plane, Trains, and Automobiles. And it still sticks out to me because I think it was me and my friend and like two other people in the theater. It was more of a way to kill time on a Saturday afternoon.
I didn't see that. I did watch a documentary recently, and I think his kids produced it. It was called I Like Me or something. It's a great documentary. If you are a John Candy fan, highly recommend that. It made me kind of cry, and it made me reminisce for he was, sort of the golden age of Hollywood where he was just a decent human being and he was brilliant. And so it is said 1994. Holy cow. But also on this day in 2005, Martha Stewart was released from prison. And when you think about what Martha Stewart went to prison with and what all these yahoos in politics are getting away with now, I'd be a little ticked off if I was Martha Stewart.
Well, I just sit here and go, there's a reason she pals around with Snoop Dogg and a few others nowadays.
Right.
Because, if she had been a politician instead of a TV show host at the time, she probably would have gotten a promotion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Some good news. The end is nigh. So they say, sine die is going to be at 11:59 p.m. on Sunday. breathe a sigh of relief. Well, it's almost over.
Well,
it's
not there
almost
yet.
Over. Well, and I think, how much damage can be done?
Well, the good news is they have one less hour than they probably figured they have because of that daylight savings time thing. You know, springing forward, we'd lose that hour. So maybe it's even a little less than they're going to try and get away with in the last moments.
Think of all the damage the Democrats could do with that extra hour, mm-hmm. and now they don't have it. So, whoo! We talked yesterday about the governor signing in that horrific gas tax thing. Mm-hmm. Oregon Republicans have filed suit on that. I had a story on that, and now I can't find it, but I think you have it, Hunter. Ed Deal had a press conference. Again, Representative Ed Deal, who, together with Senator Bruce Starr and Jason Williamson, spearheaded the effort to get all those signatures. 250,000 Oregonians spoke up and said, yeah, no. And the Democrats, of course, are playing games because that's what Democrats do. And so they passed it to get it on the May ballot, and she jumped right on it. Where's my pen? Climbing over the desk to grab a pen and sign that thing. And so now they have filed suit to file an injunction against this. So
yeah.
What are you seeing in the story?
Well, they've filed, and of course, we're so early in this process.
Yeah.
You know, the lawsuit was filed against the Secretary of State, Tobias Reed, being in charge of the elections. And I look at this and I sit here and go, we're in Oregon. The legal system doesn't move at breakneck speed.
Right.
May is not too far off. So what I see this being is it'll probably be put in front of a very Democrat-loving judge relatively locally. It will pass. They'll get it onto the May ballots. Even if they press it up to the next level, it's not going to stop it from being on the May ballot, but I think it's a great move in sitting there saying Oregonians spoke. Oregonians wanted to vote on this in November. The Democrats are playing games to avoid accountability on this thing, and we're going to make that a talking point, focal point for the next few months as we go through this election season.
Yeah, and I think all the way through to November, depending on who gets through the primary. Of course, obviously the Republicans have a primary. obviously, this is I smart candidates, smart campaigners, smart comms teams are going to make a lot of hay out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I fully anticipate the deal team, the Ed Deal team, is going to be using this quite a bit. You know, and you're kind of seeing some, you know, and looking at different. Who's interviewing who? Who's doing the different forums and things like that? I thought it was interesting. You've got Drazen and Dudley. Not showing up at some of these smaller, more rural forums. I don't think that bodes well for them. they're claiming scheduling conflicts. I kind of read that as we don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't, because, again, they both have the name recognition that the other ones don't necessarily. Although I have to put, again, we've talked about David Medina, who I don't think is going to crack. I don't think he'll make it through the primary. But he's got that social media thing, and that's just a new wrinkle on a lot of this. He's got that following. So he definitely has – it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, conventional wisdom says it's either Drazen or Dudley. But I really do see the Deal campaign really running with this. To me, this was a gift for them.
Yeah. Well, and for me, that's the things I see right now is with Drazen and Dudley – their focus is on the greater Portland metro area, recognizing that's where they have the most likely area of getting a large number of Republican votes, simply because that's where they serve and that's where they're going to be the most recognized.
I have seen Dudley out and about across the state. What I'm talking about, though, mainly is smaller county debate forums where it's like they're not there, where you've got Danielle Bethel, you've got David Medina, you've got Ed Deal. They're showing up to talk to the grassroots because the county parties are the base, the PCPs within the party. That's your first level of elected official. Those are the folks you need to talk to and win over because they're going to go talk to two friends and so on and so on and so on.
Well, yeah, I saw, I think before we got on the air, I saw a little thing. I believe the three of them are out in Coos Bay here coming up in the next few days.
That's the one I'm specifically referring to.
And I think that's smart and that's needed. And I, at the same time, like we said, is Drazen ran, you know, 4 years ago, Dudley ran, you know, a decade or so ago. So they both kind of have that name recognition. And just energizing a more metropolitan base, it seems like, is their game plan.
And we forget, Oregon is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And it's very distinctly different in different parts of the state. So, again, it is. It's well, March 4th.
Yeah. And I did hear that Christine Drazen at least has got some ads running up in the Portland metro area.
I heard an ad for her on KXL. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that made a lot of, I'm hearing that going, yeah, that makes sense to have ads in that area. So I see this tweet today, too, and it's so hilarious. Laugh out loud. And I shared the thread because the comments in this Oregon Secretary of State tweeted out, I got on February 28th, but it's still funny. Oregon is the gold standard when it comes to running fair, accurate, and inclusive vote by mail elections. We'll continue to work with local election offices to make Oregon. Yeah, that's, he left out a word there, to make sure Oregon continues to lead in high turnout, low cost, and high security elections. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't drinking coffee.
They're not wanting to, you know, they intentionally leave that word out, make sure. They don't want to make sure. They just want to make Oregon.
Oh, but it's like so funny. Those of you know, if you voted any time, I mean, gosh, I've been in Oregon since 1978. I've voted the second I turned old enough to vote, cast my first ballot ever for Ronald Reagan. this is hilarious because it really motor voter was a dagger to Oregon.
I'm literally looking through the comments and people are pointing this out. You know, you're saying this, but you did a 2-month investigation and went from what 300 people that shouldn't be registered through motor voter to over 1,000. And then all of a sudden you just ended the investigation.
Yeah.
Or at least publicly telling anyone about the investigation. Didn't the federal government discover 800,000 people that shouldn't be on our voter rolls? So how do you go on, you know, any kind of media and make this kind of claim unless you are in a complete echo chamber with a bunch of people that are not that have their heads buried in the sand?
I would say door number 3. Or however many doors you brought
up. Right.
But and then the comments, most people aren't having it. I can't even say a lot of this because it's decidedly not PG. People are upset. And if you spend any time in Oregon, you've done any voting in Oregon, you know that's garbage. And again, the county, I mean, we've had conversations about Marion County. I don't know that there's outright fraud. Motor voter has done more damage. And that to me, that's the worst one. Vote by mail, obviously, too. When you look at the timeline on that, it came in what, 87, 88, and never a Republican to gain office again, with the exception of Dennis Richardson in 2016. So, you know, come on, put two and two. You can connect those dots pretty easily.
Yeah. And I just sit here and, you know, the comments I'm reading through, you know, my dog did not vote for you. And it's kind of like, you know. I can't sit here and say I guarantee that there's voter fraud going on, but whenever I see someone post that, you know, my grandfather, you know, voted Democrat for the first time, too bad he passed away a decade ago, I'm sitting here going, is he one of those 800,000 that shouldn't be out there? But, you know, there's too many question marks to just brush under the rug and say, no, that never happens.
Yeah. And when you look, I mean, really, there's a pretty, pretty big ratio on here. And somebody commented, you have 246 views and 6 likes. It's like people aren't buying this BS anymore. Nobody believes it. But now the key is, does that translate into voting differently? And that's the key, obviously. You can sit there and, you know, ratio a tweet, but you got to get out and vote.
Yeah. Well, and that's the question is it going to lead to people voting differently? I'm not holding my breath on that one. What I am hoping is that we get a little more scrutiny on how things are done. I mean, I've experienced it myself. Literally, I got my ballot a couple of years ago and my wife's never showed up. We had been in our house for nearly 10 years and found out that her ballot miraculously got sent to our old address. And then we had to go through a whole process for her to get her new ballot with the correct address on it. But what happened to that old one that got improperly delivered? Mm. Who knows? Who will ever know?
It is a mystery.
There's too many problems and too many things that can go wrong with the way it's operated right now.
Yeah. Shenanigans is sort of the state of affairs in Oregon. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. I got some news again about the Oregon Teachers Union. That was interesting. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denison Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Color Tile of Salem.
Okay, so I saw a lot of people kind of making a big deal out of this. I you know, and you and I talking just kind of in our prep, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's a headline at the Salem Reporter. Oregon's largest teachers union will not endorse any current candidates for governor. And I think we should tack on for now.
For now. Yeah. I just sit here and I go, well, you know, you can almost guarantee they wouldn't endorse any of the Republicans running in the primary.
And mercy, no.
On the Democrat side of the ticket, yes, there is 5, 6, 7 people running, whatever the number is. But in the media's eyes and in really 99.9% of Democrat voters' eyes, there's really only one candidate. And there's no point in endorsing her at this point.
Right. And the Working Families Party isn't going to endorse either. So there's a blow.
What are their working party? They're working families in this state?
Working Families Party. Look it up.
They're only trying to take our money in this state. That's what we're working for.
So apparently the same thing happened in 2014 when they didn't endorse John Kitzhaber, who was running against Dennis Richardson. Oh, Dennis Richardson. If you knew him, you loved him. He was wonderful. Anyway, the last Republican elected to statewide office.
So, well, I sit here and I say, you know, the only other message that I could take out of this lack of an endorsement would be they believe that potentially a Republican has a slight shot of taking this one, and they don't want to, you know, possibly position themselves in a bad place if a Republican governor were to miraculously happen in Oregon.
Well, according to, you know, ChatGPT and Grok, it's not an impossibility. We, you know, again, the betting markets, and I need to go. In fact, we've got Jeff Reynolds on tomorrow. We may do an update on the betting markets and see where they were, because last time we spoke with him, it was like 93% to 7% that a Republican would win. But there's all kinds of stuff shaking out. This gas tax thing now, the Republicans filing an injunction. In fact, we can maybe get to this a little bit. HB 4145 was gut and stuffed, thanks to our Kevin Starrett over at Oregon Firearms Federation. I just got an email. And Tony Aiello, who's the attorney who's been working with Derek LeBlanc on all of this. These guys, man, Derek LeBlanc especially, they're every day really, really working hard and doing this. And I think, so this amendment replaces the entire bill. It will, with the amendment only, the only change to the current law would be the implementation date, with the almost impossible to get, quote, permit and the ban on magazines. Ridiculous. 10 rounds. Sure. The new date would be January 1st, 2028. Oregon Firearms Federation is saying this law is still garbage, but it's far less damaging than the original bill. So it now goes to the full Senate floor, where if it passes, it'll need to go back to the House for concurrence with those changes. So it's not over. Again, remember, signy die, Sunday, 11:59.
Wait, do you remember a day when the short session was to kind of shore up things and dot some I's and cross some T's?
Yes, I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers. Remember.
And not change the whole outcome of Oregon in a short session?
Stripping law-abiding Oregonians of their God-given rights in a short session. Yeah. Yeah, so that's happening as well. So again, the playing, you know, there's always, you know, you wake up, it's like literally mine. What fresh hell are we waking up to today? This adds a new wrinkle, so it's going to be interesting to follow where this goes. Mm-hmm. So I think the teachers union is a big nothing burger.
No.
Because they're going to endorse a D in the general, and so will the working families, because they're, you know, about as progressive as you can get.
Yeah, unless they feel the wheels are completely falling off, and then they'll just say, oh no, we're not going to endorse anybody. We love both sides. Don't worry about us.
Oh, can we all just get along? But the key to all of this is Republicans, whoever, and I told you about that poll yesterday. And then a lot of the questions were, if it's a matchup between, you know, this Republican and that all the way down, you check every single Republican, you will vote for whoever it is. You must. You simply must.
Well, and that's to me, that's the biggest thing is you know, one issue voters, even if you don't agree 100% with the Republican candidate, there's not a single shred of agreement with the Democrat side of the ticket.
Right.
So by not voting for the Republican, you're pretty much saying we just prefer, if we're going to not have it, we're just going to go extreme not having it.
Yeah, it's like, do you like being in the minority and having your rights stripped away? Does that give you a certain satisfaction so you can be behind your... I don't get it. I don't get it. Step away from the keyboard, get out, vote. Because once you get your guy or gal in there that is on your side and is more maybe an 80-20 or a 70-30 ideologically aligned with you, you can move them then. Otherwise, you are out in the wilderness. Unless you like, I don't know with these people. I don't know. Are you, do you like being in the wilderness?
Well, more of us Oregonians are going to be in the wilderness if they keep getting their way with the supermajority. Come on.
Right? If that awful anti-hunting, anti-everything, anti-human beings eating food gets through, you're going to have a ton of people heading for the hills in Oregon.
Yeah, real quick. Well, we got a minute or so. We got a little less than 2 minutes, but there were some interesting results in the first national primary coming out of the state of Texas.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. And if we don't get to it all, we'll come back on the other side. But I'm sorry, Jasmine. She did not prevail. The rap videos and the dancing in TikTok. The hallway and the different accents for different. I mean, it just, whoa, it failed, Hunter. She didn't make it through.
Well, the irony of all of this is all of her accents and her Ebonics went away during her press conference, where then, of course, she accuses the voting of a little bit of shenanigans. So I'm just going, whatever excuse you can come up with, it is so ridiculous. But it's part of a trend out of Texas, which is very interesting because Ben Crenshaw lost his Dan Crenshaw lost his primary, and Al Green lost his primary.
Yeah. So you have to wonder, what does all that mean? Are people kind of exhausted by all of these? Because Green is notorious for two State of the Unions in a row getting thrown out for theatrics and behaving badly. I wonder if the Democrats are tired of it, too.
I wonder if everybody's kind of sick and tired of this, you know, stake in the ground. I'm not moving one inch from my perspective. And they want to see the United States government actually work to reach agreements on things and quit throwing barbs and social media posts and kicking and screaming on late night newscasts.
Well, we can always hope. Let's go ahead and dig into that a little bit more, because the person who did win against Crockett isn't any better and is kind of a little scary in other ways. So we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, so she's gone. She's out of Congress. It's like, bye, Felicia. See ya. I don't ever want to hear from you again. Her shtick, I think, wore thin with everybody. I think it really just did.
Well, when you spent more time making TikToks and social media posts and posing as the victim and catering to whoever you're talking to and try and lower yourself to their level, because that's how she sees it. Whether she was talking to white people, black people, poor people, rich people, she figured they were all below her and she would just lower herself to them to try and be more attractive. And I go, it wore thin. And I think people are sick and tired of seeing shock TV in what should be a serious setting in terms of setting policy for this country.
Yeah, I agree. And you see, I mean, that seems to be the MO of all the dumb. You look at Gavin Newsom, you know, trying to dumb himself down again for a black audience. I mean, gross. But what are these people? And Hillary Clinton with a hot sauce in her purse. I mean, it's but this dude who beat her, this Tallarico, James Tallarico, he scares me. And I a lot of people are like, because he's got this very clean cut look. To me, he looks like Davy from Davy and Goliath. Mm-hmm. Remember the old United Methodist Church claymation show back in the day? Same people who did Gumby and Pokey, by the way. So he's got this very sort of, you know, Midwest preacher hair helmet thing going on, and he looks very innocent. But if you've been kind of following his stuff for years, he's totally radically left. Mm-hmm. He's economically illiterate. He's pretends to be out there preaching Christianity, but is like, you know, the trans community needs abortion care too. And he's in some kind of and I'm throwing up a church, air quotes on the church. I find this dangerous. This to me is like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Nick Searcy, actor, who great actor. He said the fact that Tallarico is a real candidate and not a Babylon Bee skit character who is speaking from a pulpit of, quote, a real church means that Western civilization has failed. That's a pretty serious take on it. This dude scares me.
Yeah. I mean, the simple premise of this little clip, that he's literally in front of a church talking about the need for abortion.
Yeah.
really tells you about everything you need to know about this guy. And what's the most scared and what I can see becoming a little more of a trend is these wolf in sheep's clothing, these attractive younger people that seem very unassuming. I mean, you look at this video and I'm sitting there going, if you didn't see his kind of little bit of shading, you'd think the guy couldn't grow a beard.
Right.
You know, he's just kind of that young, attractive person. And I go, there's another big challenge with today's society is these young, attractive people that can really kind of gather an audience and draw people's attention. No matter what their message or how bad their message can be, they seem to gain a whole lot of traction.
But we have talked about this a lot, sort of. I know Gad Saad has a book, Suicidal Empathy, Ali Beth Stuckey's Toxic Empathy. There, a lot of the woke church is sort of buying into a lot of this. They're using the left uses their empathy against them, and that's why this is so dangerous. So he's running as a Democrat. I mean, of course, the Bible did predict this. I mean, false prophets, people coming out there and pretending to speak as one thing and being something. But it is dangerous, and a lot of people, I think, are going to fall under this spell. And I mean, this guy is running as a Democrat, but could you see Republicans doing the same thing? You just look at all the drama happening around Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could definitely see this happening on both sides. And, you know, we want to believe that the candidates we want are these great, wholesome people that, you know, are what they claim to be, but we know better. And unfortunately, when they're hiding behind a charming, you know, mentality, a very encompassing, that kind of warm feeling when you look at them and hear them speak, you see why people buy into this stuff. I mean, we have a bartender out of New York who seems to be constantly reelected for what reason?
Well, and we look at, well, and again, with Mom Donnie, that's a little different because most Native New Yorkers, and I know a lot of, did not vote for Mom Donnie. Mm-hmm. It was people that are new to the country, so to speak. Anyway, this thread is really interesting. Any church that lets him speak this heresy is not a real church. So, you know, again, he's a charismatic sociopath. And I just think it's really dangerous. And again, part of that goes to, you don't, just because somebody has whatever letter you like behind their name, and this goes for Republicans, do your homework. There's a couple of characters that are running for Oregon governor that I wouldn't let within 10 feet of elected office. I wouldn't let within 5 feet of elected office. And you have to, you know, you start seeing after, again, a lot of the same people popping up. And they'll shift with the wind. I mean, we've all been through this when people sort of pop in. They come in out of nowhere and tell you all the things you want to hear. And they tickle your ears. Just beware. R means research.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing we need to kind of stick with as we enter this primary season. You know, that's what it's for. Do your research. Vote for the people you think will best represent you. And then once that occurs, you get behind the winner on your side of the aisle and kind of really press to get out and vote for them because we need the change.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you none of the people that I have in my head when I'm speaking about will get anywhere near the general election. So no worries on that. All right. Another article here. This is interesting, too. This is over at Coin6. Gas prices climb due to the war with Iran. Oregonians can feel the impact. Now, we talked about this. It's like gas prices are climbing in Oregon because of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you add on climbing because of what's going on the world stage.
Sure. Yep.
And like I said, is 11 cents countrywide means 12, 13, 14 cents here in Oregon.
Oregonians have already seen a 47 cent jump compared to just a month ago. Gas is expensive on the West Coast. Washington, ugh.
Yeah.
Try to avoid buying gas in Washington at all costs. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, is between taxes and policies that have made gas production on the West Coast virtually non-existent, you know, they kick and scream about the idea of pipelines, but that's the only way that we can do anything here because we're not willing to process it ourselves.
I don't think there are any refineries left on the West Coast.
I think there may be one in Washington, like one in California. They're definitely
aren't
not
they planning
in Oregon.
On planning on closing them. Just real quick before we take a break, AAA. So crude prices, they jumped from $65 a barrel to $75. For every $1 increase in crude, gas prices rise by 2.5%. So a $10 raise obviously is 25 cents. So keep an eye on it. It's going to get a little spendy. And of course, we're coming in on spring and then the summer driving season. So, and then Oregon has all those little goodies, little taxes and fees on top of it.
Well, you got to drive for a vacation in the spring in summer because you don't want to, you know, see pajamas at the airport.
See, again, I'm flying and I don't want to see any. I'll be so upset. It'd be nice to not see pajamas at the airport. Pajamas or Uggs or Crocs.
Yeah.
And maybe brush your teeth, brush your hair, and put on some deodorant, and we can all just get along.
What do you mean? I paid for the seat. I deserve all of the accolades.
Okay, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Salem Clinic and Cozy's New York Deli.
Oh, Cozy's. I could use a gabagool. I have not eaten today. All I've had is a little protein shake with some chia seeds in it, and I'm hungry.
Oh, well, come on. It's National Pound Cake Day, so you're saving room, right?
Right. Well, speaking of food, KATU out on Twitter, many people receiving SNAP benefits must now prove they are working or actively trying to find work in order to continue receiving food assistance. File this under. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there going, that's
like, what's your problem with that, KATU News?
Yeah, I don't see the requirements being you're working a 40-hour job with 10 hours of overtime a week. I see them being like, you know, you could work part-time bagging groceries at the Walmart.
It's an 80-hour rule for the month.
Yeah.
Which is a part-time job. In Idaho, they took out junk food too. You can't get any junk food anymore.
Yeah.
No sweets. No, nothing.
That won't happen in Oregon. We need people to be obese for World Obesity Day. Come on.
Why is this a bad thing? I mean, it made me think about unemployment because I had to be on unemployment. I worked in high tech for a long time in Oregon. Every now and again, you'd get furloughed or laid off or whatever. And I worked in retail and all that kind of stuff. And so I think it was 6 months, if I'm not mistaken. And you had every week.
Yeah,
you had to have at least three, if I recall, that I reached out or interviewed. You were actively, and they checked on it back in the day.
Yeah. My experience with the unemployment was when the .com bubble burst at the early 2000s, maybe even a little before that. 90, yeah, whatever it was. Of course, I was out of work. And literally the job interviews that I got where I was living at the time were pretty much like, you're overqualified for this position. And I'm kind of like, yeah, but there's no other work out here kind of mentality.
Right,
but yeah,
right.
I had to literally document my job searching, who I spoke with, things like that, and submit it every week in order to get a portion of what I had been paid before.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it was like almost, I mean, it was very little money. And so obviously the incentive, you want to be uncomfortable, you want to, and that's the point. It's not a way of life. Wasn't it then up to like 99 weeks?
Yeah, I think after the 2008 housing crash, I believe the Obama administration extended it significantly and then gave a few waivers that could extend it more. And if you were in a certain industry that was being hampered by it, aka like a technology type thing, there you virtually, if you enrolled to go back in to take some classes to further your education, you could extend it for the period that you were in that school.
Well, let me guess, so many people did that then, because if you incentivize it, they're going to do it.
Let me tell you this. I was in Central Oregon at the time. I knew a lot of people that there was a company there in the airplane industry that shut down. About 500 people were out of work. A vast majority of them enrolled at the community college to the point where taking Math 20 had a waiting list of about 100 people.
Oh, wow.
That's how bogged down that system became, because it was virtually free money for furthering your education.
Well, I don't have a problem with this, you know, proving that if you want those benefits as taxpayers, we're doing that. I don't have a problem restricting what food's in there. It should be, you know, what is it? Supplemental nutritional assistance program. It should be nutritious foods. If you want something additional, you can go buy it yourself.
Yeah, it makes
sense. You can.
Well, and you know, virtually, we know how overburdened and abused this system is.
Yeah.
Whether it is people who are buying nothing but high-end junk food or very expensive food. Mm-hmm. There's people that are doing things like buying drinks, soda, waters, whatever. Yeah. And literally, because that way they can get cash on the bottle returns. I mean, this is a program that's almost as ripe for... fraud is mail-in voting. So,
oh, heck yeah. And of course, all those so offensive videos of these people coming in with their hauls of all the crap and the junk food and all the stuff and putting it out on TikTok. And it just like trying to rub the average American hardworking taxpayers' face in it was so offensive. And I think that just sort of backfired. So those are the new rules. And there's also Robert F. Kennedy, announced, speaking of junk food and crap that people eat, a new ultra-processed food labels will soon be mandatory on all food products. The products will have a color code to determine how toxic and unhealthy. I have this app and I don't really use it all that much because I tend to eat real food. I guess you can like take a picture of the barcode and it'll kind of rate, this is garbage, put it back, or this is actually pretty good, and it'll kind of let you know where in the grand scheme of, you know, ultra-processed to, you know, here's a slab of meat, where it fits.
I am a little frightened by this because I expect you're going to walk into a grocery store when this happens, and the amount of labels are going to shock you.
About how much is processed how much of
the food in our grocery stores today is processed beyond recognition.
Well, you know, and there's something I do like, you know, those rice-a-roni noodle mixes. And if you look at the label, they're as long as your arm. And so it's not like just having like macaroni, butter, and egg with some Parmesan cheese on it. Oh. And when you really look at how much is ultra-processed, it is a little frightening.
Yeah, I just sit here and go, you know, one of my kids' favorite snacks, they can get home after school and heat up a bowl of Top Ramen real quick.
Oh.
And I just go, I mean, that stuff's just like cardboard to begin with.
You could add an egg to it and make it healthy.
You think they're going to do that? Come on. These are kids.
Well, a lot of people are saying this is a big Rogan, RFK Jr. was on Rogan saying, quote, by April, we will have a federal definition of ultra processed foods. First time in history. And as soon as we do that, we're going to do front of packaging food labels. So every food in your grocery store will have a label. Yeah. So I guess like, what are they saying? Maybe a green light, a red light. It's going to be this like chaos of colors assaulting your senses when you walk in.
Yeah, it gets me going through my head about the things that either, you know, we currently buy or things that I used to love to eat when I was younger that you can't find anymore because there's a few things that have disappeared or they've changed enough that it's no longer very good. And I just go, it's going to be real interesting to see how this all pans out.
They talk about, you know, like McDonald's French fries used to be fried in beef tallow and they were a lot better. I did a quick trip to Trader Joe's on South Commercial and I thought if anybody would have chips in beef tallow, they would, and they don't. So I'm hoping they get some because I do like Trader Joe's. I stocked up on some of my favorite spices and things. But yes, food did use, it was a lot different. It was a lot better. The food that we remember, we're remembering it correctly. It was better because it was food.
Yeah, well, and the other part of all of this now is you go into a grocery store and they have their regular vegetable section and then their, you know, kind of special fruits and vegetables that are, you know, certified, you know, organic or whatever.
And
they're costing three times as much. I go, that's the other thing that worries me is you start seeing these labels and all of a sudden you're going to see prices jump on those things that may be healthy to, you know, sadly, encourage people to buy more of the crap.
That's a good point because obviously you're going to have marketers and you're going to have retailers, you know, try to take advantage. That's the whole organic thing. You'll get one tomato over here versus the other one. There's no real definition of what organic means. It's just a word that people go, ooh, it's organic. So I'll pay 20 cents more for this tomato. What is it really? So I'm hoping, obviously, I think they're going to, you know, be on the up and up on this. He's saying they're not going to change it overnight, but he really is behind getting people to be healthy. A lot of people in the thread are talking about, are you going to tell if there's glyphosate in it? Because that's obviously a lot of people think that that's what's behind a lot of the food intolerance and, you know, somebody not necessarily doesn't have celiac, but like a gluten, it's the glyphosate. Again, that's a deep dive into, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how this rolls out again, April. So we'll see it in April.
I think it'll start with some of the most processed foods you can imagine. And I think we'll be shocked to see what those truly are.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I don't watch The View, but I gotta say I've been seeing some clips and I do love her. She's back. I don't know for how long, probably not, because she's kicking butt and taking names. Elizabeth Hasselbeck back. Have you seen she's great with all those harpies around her, trying to give her, she's not letting them cut her off. She is making her solid points. They should keep her. Unlike whatever they have, that faux conservative that's on there.
Well, they do what you'd expect, is they want to have a you know, both sides represented. So they put a bunch of loud, obnoxious Democrats around the table and a quiet, soft-spoken, easily, you know, bullied Republican in there, so that, you know, well, their views got represented. She spoke up and we just cut her off and didn't allow her to finish. But Elizabeth Hasselbeck's been doing this long enough that, she's not going to put up with it.
I just remember the epic, you know, she would get under Rosie O'Donnell's skin all the time. So I was happy to see her back and look at some of those clips. And she's really good at sort of navigating the landmines that they try to lay for her. And she's just not having it. So I hope they keep her. Also wanted to mention.
They won't.
I know.
You can't have someone talking that way to Whoopi.
But it's nice to see her back, because we haven't seen much of her for a while. Also wanted to mention, too, all 39 of the anti-ICE rioters who raided that church in Minnesota have now been tracked down and arrested. This is per AG Harmeet Dhillon, who I adore. She's doing great stuff out there. Very happy to see that.
Yep.
Now, hopefully there'll be some consequences and some charges that stick. This cannot be allowed to happen. We should have zero tolerance for this.
Yeah. And you know, if you've watched the videos, heard about what happened, I mean, it goes beyond what you can even see in the videos. They, you know, the reports that they were literally blocking people from getting to their children in the daycare. I'm just sitting here going, they should be kidnapping charges, terrorism charges, the whole shebang, throw the federal book at them. I just worry that, as we all know, is how things have gone in the past, is as it becomes farther and farther off of the daily news, it becomes forgotten about and a slap on the wrist and send them right back out on the streets.
Yeah. And I don't, excuse me. I don't know what's happening with Don Lemon. He was out there. What was he at some award show being all smug and everything?
Well, that's the thing. That's where that will stay on the forefront, is whatever occurs with Don Lemon. And I think they need to really set the standard that claiming journalist doesn't give you free pass to do whatever you want.
Well, that's like people being completely obnoxious or getting in people's faces or assaulting them and saying, claiming, I have my First Amendment rights. Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, not to assault somebody, not to terrorize somebody, not to invade private spaces. And then, of course, you know, regardless, you have the right to say whatever you want out there, but we all have a right to push back on it. And you don't have there's no right for you not having to feel consequences potentially.
Well, let's go back to the summer of love and remember what you would see is these people in literally military garb with white pen written press on their shirts, running around, causing havoc, doing whatever they wanted. And when they saw any repercussions coming in the direction, I'm just a member of the press, leave me alone. Yeah, it's not how the game works. And we need the adults in the room to sit here and say, just because you can write press doesn't mean you get a free pass.
Nope. And again, of course, summer is coming again. And it's all going to be so crazy.
Well, I think so much you're going to see as we get through these primary election season. What's going to happen in Texas with these establishment people getting the boot for relatively unknown faces? I mean, how are things going to come out? How's that going to be a national trend?
I think you're kind of seeing it on both sides. Like I said, you've got like the Brandon Gill, who's been out there, who's questioning Tim Walz. And I mean, there's a lot of this young crop of on the conservative side getting rid of some of these stale old dinosaurs. Mitch McConnell looking at you, dude, retire. And getting these really impressive people coming in.
Yeah. And how is the extremists out of the streets going to handle that?
Be fascinating. All right, we got Jeff Reynolds on the show tomorrow. Be sure to join us. Go out. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.